My joy and my privilege to be back again to Faith Baptist Church. I have many fond memories of my visits here, and I appreciate your faithfulness in prayer, your faithfulness in financial support, and it is my joy to be here with you, though I can only be here for one day. As I listened to all the announcements about all the things that are coming this month, I was thinking, I wish I could just stay here and be a part of all of that. But that's impossible for me because I've already scheduled to be in other churches from now until the time I leave for Japan again in November, and we will be there for Christmas evangelism, the annual Bible conference, the annual Christmas concert at our Bible college there. We just last March we had our 47th graduation of the Bible college there in Japan, and I'm thankful to say we've not had a year when we did not have graduates each year and new students to come in. It's never been a large school, but you know, quality many times is much better. We have more than 93% of our graduates are still serving the Lord full time in ministry, and I'm thankful for that. And I thank you for being a part of that. I look forward to being here with you all day today. I look forward to the good music tonight. I love good music. I appreciate the music of your church. I have been greatly blessed. You know, one of the greatest areas of attack from Satan today is in the area of Christian music. Now, that's not what I'm here to preach about, so I need to not get up on my soapbox. But I do believe that that the issue of Christian music in our churches today is a biblical issue, and that we must stay true to the Word of God. And if we stay true to the Word of God, we will not incorporate the music of the world. He hath put a new song, not a contemporary song. Contemporary means that which goes with the generation we live in. The new song is in opposition to the old. When we were in our trespasses and sins, but now we are new creatures in Christ. So we are a new man. We have a new birth. We have a new life. And all things are become new. And so He's put a new song in our mouth, not in our ear. It's not for entertainment. It's for praising the Lord, as we heard so beautifully in the solo this morning, to worship Him. He has put a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it. Again, not hear it. Of course, hearing is a good thing. But there's more to Christian music than just what we hear. Many shall see it, and fear come under godly conviction, not under wonderful enjoyment, but under fear and godly conviction, and then trust in the Lord. That's our goal. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, we read these familiar words. What? Notice the question. A one-word question. Paul is almost in surprise saying, what? How could it be possible that you don't know this? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, because of this, for this reason, because you are not your own, therefore, glorify God in your body. Incidentally, the one you have is the only one you have. It's the only one you've ever had, and it's the only one you ever will have. Glorify God in your body, and in your spirit, which are God's. If we as Christians could ever grasp this truth, it would revolutionize everything. It would change our lives radically. I am not my own. I have no rights. I have nothing that I deserve. I don't belong to me. Therefore, my only purpose is to glorify God. We often said, in my younger years especially, and still it's true, only one life. 'Twill soon be past. And only what's done for Christ will last. We only have one life. And the older we get, the more we realize how important that life is. My life verse is Acts 20, verse 24. Has not always been. I used to have as my life verse from my teen years all the way through until about 20 years ago. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But now, without setting that one aside, I have chosen Acts 20, 24, but none of these things move me. Watch out for things. I know Paul was talking about persecutions and all that, but that's okay. But Paul said, none of these things, none of these things. You know, it's awfully easy for things to take over. Don't be moved by things. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear to myself. See, Paul didn't say I don't count my life dear. He said I don't count it dear to myself. Your life is the dearest possession you have. That's why I don't take for granted missionary support that comes my way, because you are spending a part of your life working to earn the money that you give so that we can be missionaries. You are investing your life, or at least a part of it, every time you put something in the offering or every time you give your tithe. You see. Paul said, we asked Paul, what do you mean, Paul? I think he might quote himself and he would say, well, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Well, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. And oh, what a price. Did you ever think about it? The highest price that was ever paid was paid for the most worthless object that was ever bought. He paid the price for me. I'm bought with a price. I am not my own. Therefore, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, that I might finish my course with joy. I don't want to be a grumpy old man. I've been a grumpy young man at times, but I don't want to be a... You know, we need to finish what God wants us to do in this life and do it with joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Paul said, I want to finish my course with joy. And then he goes on to say, and the ministry, which I've received with the Lord Jesus. You see, he didn't say my ministry. It's my life. I consecrate it. It's my course. I'm determined to complete it. But it's not my ministry. But I'm still determined that it continue. That's why he said to Timothy, I am now ready to be offered, but it's your turn. You preach the word. You be instant in season, out of season. Paul said, I want my ministry to continue. I want the ministry, to continue even after my course is complete. And that's the passion of my heart and my life. And that's what God is allowing me to do. You see, you can live your life to glorify God. And then you can leave your life in such a way that it will glorify God, as Peter did. But then you can continue to glorify God with the legacy of your life. But it starts by recognizing this simple fact. If you belong to Him, you do not belong to yourself. Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43. I know this is an Old Testament passage, and I know it is primarily directed to Israel, but I believe that every promise in the book is mine. All of these things happen for my example, and they're for me. And every promise God gave, because of the character of God, is a true promise for everyone who will claim it. The Japanese call their Bible, the Old Testament, is the old book of promises, Kyoyakusho, and the New Testament is the new book of promises, Shin Yakusho. Yakusho means promise. But in this passage of Scripture, God is talking primarily through Isaiah to His own people. And incidentally, I've been bought with a price, so I belong to Him too. So do you if you're a born-again Christian. If you're not, you can be. You can know, you can become a possession of the Almighty God. In verse 1 of chapter 43 of the book of Isaiah, we read these words, "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Thou art mine. You belong to me," God said. Praise God. I was deserted before I was born by my real dad. My mother was young. I was born in the charity ward of a hospital. Then I grew up with my grandmother. All my life I felt like nobody really wanted me. Somebody had to take care of me, but I never felt like anyone really wanted me. So when I hear God Himself say, "You are mine," I like that. I like that. You belong to me. You see, He said, number one, I created you. You belong to me. Number two, He said, I didn't just create you like I did all the other creation, but I actually formed you. Getting personal. I formed you. You see, you're exactly who God wants you to be. I believe that though our physical is inherited through our parents, that every one of our eternal soul is an individual creation of God. That's why we're told to preach the gospel to every created one, to every creature. And everyone will live for all of eternity. God says, I created you. You're mine. I formed you in a special way. I made you like me. I made you in my likeness. But I believe that He's made everyone. Do you know that of all the people there are over now, what is it, 7 billion plus now? No two people are exactly alike. God doesn't clone. God creates. And God forms. And I formed you to be who I want you to be. You belong to me. You're mine. You're mine. And then He goes on to say, I've redeemed you. Even when we all like sheep went astray, turned everyone to our own way, the Lord laid on Him, the Holy Son of God, all of our iniquity. and redeemed us. Redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I not only created you, I not only formed you in a special way, but when you went astray, I redeemed you. You're bought with a price. And then he goes on to say, I have called you by thy name, by your name. Now over and over we hear, we're called by his name, and that's a wonderful truth. But right here he says, no, I've called you by your name. And I believe God has a personal invitation to everyone who hears the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in a sense, in your heart, he knows your name. Remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? What was the rich man's name? We don't know, do we? But what was the beggar's name? Lazarus. God knew his name. Therefore, we know his name. Everybody else probably knew the rich man's name. But God knew the beggar's name. The rich man probably had a marvelous funeral. But I liked the poor man's pallbearers better, don't you? He was born by the angels into Abraham because God knew his name. Remember the other Lazarus? When Jesus got to the tomb 4 days late and Martha said, "You're too late, Lord. If you had been here." And he said, "Roll away that stone." And Martha realistically said, "Lord, we can't. He's been dead for 4 days and he stinks." Now I've had to have funerals for people that were not embalmed and were left on their beds for 4 and 5 days. Martha was telling the truth. Martha was telling the truth. I don't think there's a worse odor in all of the world. And I think it has to do with the sin that is in our flesh. But Jesus said, "Martha, roll that stone away." And they rolled the stone away. Then what did he do? He said, "Lazarus! Lazarus!" Called him by name. He said, "You come on out of there. You're going to have to stick around a little while longer so that I can get glory from you." Then you remember at Jesus' tomb when Mary Magdalene went there and the tomb was empty and she was sad and weeping and she saw the figure of this man and she didn't know who it was through her tears and her grief. And she said, "They've taken him away. Tell me where you've laid him." And then what did he do? He called her by her name. And that was, then everything was settled. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Here! Here! I'm here! Because he's going to call my name. Now I must move quickly. You see, we belong to him because of his creation, because he formed us, because he redeemed us, because he has invited us by name to him. We belong to him. We are his possession. Number two, we have his promises. Verse 2, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." You have his promises. You see, first of all, he says, when you walk through the waters, when you pass through the waters. Now, it doesn't say if you pass through the waters. He says when you pass through. I think of those kind of waters like a great sea, like the Red Sea before the children of Israel. Mountains on both sides and the Egyptian army coming right after them. And they had nowhere to go. And right before them was the waters. And God said, when you pass through those waters, I'll be with you. So whether he dries the ground around us and lifts the sea up, or whether he walks on top of the water as he did for his disciples, doesn't make any difference. When we pass through the waters, he will be with us. Then it says the rivers. What's the difference? I kind of think of rivers. I grew up in West Virginia, so I think of the flash floods we used to have. I surrendered my life to the Lord to be a missionary when I was 12 years old. I went to a camp. Wish I had time to tell you the story about that. My parents wouldn't pay for me to go to camp. And so on Sunday morning when we were to leave Sunday afternoon, I was told by our pastor, someone has offered to pay your way to camp. Do you want to go? And I said, yes. I went home very quickly on my thumb. It was 15 miles back to my home. Went back home, gathered my clothes together, left my parents a note, and went to camp without telling them, asking their permission. If I'd asked them, they'd have said no. They were against me even going to church. Now, that wasn't a right thing to do. Young people, don't copy me. But that's what I did. And our four-day camp turned into a 10-day camp because we had a flash flood. And our mountain became an island, and we couldn't get out. And somehow I heard a missionary, and I surrendered my life to the Lord to be a missionary at that camp. So you see, I think of the waters as like the flash floods. You don't know they're coming. Like my dear friend's great, godly Mexican leaders, one of the key leaders in our ministry in Mexico with the university there, a Christian university, training countless young people for God's glory, were killed last night. He and his wife in a tragic accident. Don't understand. But when those things come into your life, and many of our problems do come into our lives, suddenly we get broadsided or blindsided or whatever you want to say. But God is never blindsided. So when we have those, they won't overflow us. They will just wash us on down to something better in our lives. And then he says, when you walk through the fire, you won't be burned. Now, of course, we all think of the three Hebrew children. Remember old Nebuchadnezzar had them cast into that fire that was so hot, it killed the people that threw them in. And then from a distance, he was looking in. And he said, I thought we threw three men in that fire. And they said, oh, yes, King, forever, live forever. And they didn't really want him to live forever. But they said that. They said, we threw three men in. So he said, one, two, three, four. I say four. And one of them is like to the Son of God. Paul learned it, didn't he? Taking away the thorn was not nearly so good as having his all-sufficient grace. You see, we have his promises of protection. We have his promise of his presence with us no matter what happens in our life. Why? Because we belong to him. We're his possession. Number three, and I move quickly. Verse 3 says, I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. He says, you also have the knowledge of my person, who I am. You're my possession. You have my promises. You have the knowledge of my person, who I am. I am the Lord God. I am the Holy One. Uh-oh. I'm in trouble. He's my God, and he's holy. I'm unholy. He's pure, I'm impure. He's sinful, he's sinless, I'm sinful. He's righteous, I'm unrighteous. So I'm glad he didn't stop with two statements about himself. I'm your God, I'm the Holy One, but I'm your Savior. I'm your Savior. I am going to buy you with a price. And you will belong to me Verse 4, very quickly, he says, not only that, but you're precious. Precious is, you know, can I be a little bit honest with you? God's been good to me, but for almost 17 years now, I miss being number one in somebody's life. For my wife, Odessa, I was number one. I don't know why. But I don't have that anymore. But for God, I believe He, because He is God, can have each one of us as number one in His life. You are mine. You belong to me. You're precious. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Your trials are precious. The worst things that can happen to us in God's sight are precious things because we are precious in His sight. And then, the final thing, and this is what I need to get to very quickly. Look at verse 10. You belong to me. You have my promises. You have my presence. You know who I am and I will never change. You're precious to me. Now there's only one thing I ask of you. In this passage, there's only one thing I ask of you. Verse 10. You are my witnesses. I want you to tell the world about me. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. I know this is not a missions conference, but that's missions. The both and principle of missions. All of our churches that I have anything to do with in Japan have faith promise as their approach to missionary giving. And that's why they send their missionaries and they don't expect you to send their missionaries. They expect you to send your missionaries. And they will send their missionaries out to the other mission fields of the world. And we have Japanese in 21 different foreign countries serving the Lord as full-time missionaries there. And they're all supported by Japanese churches. You see, that's God's plan. We are to be all He wants from us. He doesn't want us to show off what we are. We don't have to brag about the size of our churches or the depth of our faith. This deeper life talking and all these different... Some of the most shallow Christians I've ever met are Christians who talk all the time about deeper life. Because they're full of pride. They've arrived somewhere that nobody else has gotten to yet. See, all He wants from you. He is you. You belong to Him. Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. Odessa and I used to sing that together. From Him no power of evil can sever. He gave His life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to Him. Once I was lost in sin's degradation, but Jesus came down to bring me salvation. His precious blood He shed to redeem. Now I belong to Him. So joy floods my soul. For Jesus has saved me, freed me from the sin that long had enslaved me, lifted me up from sorrow and shame. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for all eternity. Wade wa shu no mono, shu wa waga mono, toki no mani arade, toko shie made. See, the language doesn't make any difference. The language doesn't make any difference. And all He really wants from us is for us to be faithful witnesses to take the message of the gospel to the world. You see, that's why it's important that we be willing to admit, to recognize, to accept the fact that we don't belong to ourselves. See, you young people, you need to be determined. I don't belong to me. I want to go where God wants me to go. I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to be what God wants me to be. There are only two things you can do with your life. You can give it away, or you can throw it away. But you can't keep it. If you try to keep it, you'll make a mess out of it. It's my life. No, it isn't. It's His life. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to Him. The path that I have trod has brought me nearer God, though oft it led through sorrow's gates. Though not the way I'd choose, in my way I might lose the joy that yet for me awaits. Submission to the will of Him who guides me still is surety of His love revealed. My soul will rise above this world in which I move. I conquer only where I yield. Not what I wish to be. Not where I wish to go. For who am I that I should choose my way? The Lord will choose for me. 'Tis better far, I know. So let Him bid me go or stay. That was one of the songs sung at our wedding. And God has proven Himself faithful. Do you belong to Him? If not, if in the depths of your heart you will listen. I don't know your name, but He does. And He will call. Jesus is tenderly calling thee home. He created you. Now let Him redeem you. Come to Him. Listen as He calls you by your name. And come to Him for salvation. And if you have, remember. If Paul stepped in, or don't have him have to look at you and say, what? Really? You really don't know that? You say, well, yeah, I know it. But you don't act like it. You act like you don't know it. But He says, you don't belong to yourself. Now, that should not be a negative thought. That should be a positive, glorious thought. I belong to Him. He says, you are mine. Your daddy didn't want you. Your mother didn't act like she wanted you. She went away. Your grandmother loved you, but she probably only had you because there was nobody else that would take you. But you belong to me. Now, glorify me in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And how can you glorify Him on this earth? By telling the world about Him. You can't glorify God by boasting about yourself. You can only glorify God by boasting about God. And He says, I only want one thing from you because I love the world too. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And He prayed in John 17, Lord, help them to be one so the world can know. Why do you think we have all the division and the bickering and the hurt feelings and all? Because the devil is at work. And he can use even good people to hinder the work of God. You see, we need to come together and tell the world who He is and what He did. He is God who came in human flesh, paid the full price of sin, and offers salvation as a free gift. Two things necessary for a gift to be a gift. It's a very simple thing. Number one, it has to be a giver. But it doesn't really become a gift until there's a receiver. That's why these people say, well, yeah, you have to believe, but you also have to be baptized. No. You're putting a purchase price on it, so it ceases to be a gift, and it becomes a purchase. You see, it's God's gift. But He wants the world to know that He's giving it. That's what missions is all about. That's what ministry, that's what visitation is all about. That's what Sunday school is all about. That's what family is all about. You know, you need to teach your children that they don't belong to you, they belong to God. And that's God. You belong to me. What? No, you not. That your body, not somebody else's, your body, is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you. You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Can we stand?